Well, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths of the Word that transform us. Help us, Lord, in our lives to be subject to your still small voice, the love that you have, you want to direct and guide our lives. Help us, Lord, to trust in you and not in ourselves. In Christ's name we pray, amen. This passage in Jeremiah is a very important one. In many ways, it's kind of like the eye in the storm. A hurricane has been bashing against the nation of Israel that had turned against the Lord, and the northern tribes had already been dragged off by the Assyrians, and now Jeremiah has been raised up to warn the two tribes left, the Benjamin and Judah, to be careful that they needed to walk with the Lord. This passage today really is about the condition of the heart. I've taken that more seriously lately. A couple dear friends of mine have had some issues with their heart, and both of them had each actually been checked out by doctors even months before, and still, we've got to pay attention to these things. In the Scriptures, it's talking about the condition of our spiritual heart. So we want to look at five things in this passage. Actually, we want to encapsulate this passage in its context, and so I'll have you turn to Jeremiah 17. The first thing we see is a dull heart. Let me read at verse 17, verse 1. The sin of Judah is written down with an iron stylus with a diamond point, and it's engraved upon the tablet of their heart, on the horns of their altar. And they remembered their children, and they remembered their altars and their ashram, and the green trees on the high hills. O mountain of mine in the countryside, I will give over your wealth and all your treasures for booty, your high places for sin throughout your borders, and you will even yourselves let go of your inheritance that I gave you. And I will make you serve your enemies in a land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which will burn forever. The first thing we see is a dull heart. Now, how do I pick that up? It's because the only way he could speak to them now, he's got to get a chisel and it's got to have an iron, a diamond tip, and he's got to chisel this away into their hard heart. They had not listened to the Lord. David in Psalm 1, 400 years earlier, had said, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but who meditates on the law of the Lord and delights in it day and night. He will be like a tree planted by water." And the people of God grew dull of hearing. Their heart grew dull. I was talking to Pastor Paul this week. We were meeting together, and we were talking about our walk with the Lord. And here's what I told him, what the Lord is trying to teach me. He's teaching me that he just wants to be able to whisper to me, "Gary, do this. Don't do that." He doesn't want to have to yell at me. I remember my mother, born in Ukiah, I moved to Bakersfield, 10 years there. I remember my mother, she was a school teacher and stopped teaching so she could raise the kids and then went back into teaching. And I remember it would be dinner time and we'd be off down the road, down the alleyway, some playing with our friends. And Mom would get to the back door of the kitchen and say, "Gary, it's time for dinner." I'd hear her, of course, but she didn't sound desperate enough. She would say it again, a little bit louder, "Gary, time for dinner," thinking I hadn't heard. And finally, she would scream it out. If you don't come, you're not going to get it. And so then I would come up, oh, I didn't hear you. That's often how we act towards the Lord. The Lord wants to whisper to us. Why don't you get up and out of bed and get on your knees and pray? Why don't you read the scriptures? Hey, that website, you shouldn't be going there. Oh, your heart is not towards this, it should be towards the end. And ultimately here, the problem was the nation of Israel had developed a dull heart towards the Lord. And as a result of that, bad things happened. Friends, the Lord wants to whisper to us. He doesn't want to have to yell. Now, he is capable of yelling. He could send angels. He could send, you know, flaming arrows. He could do whatever he wants. But the fact is this, the Lord wants to speak to us as a father or a parent speaks to a child. I don't want to have to raise my voice. The Lord wants to speak to us, but they had a dull heart. The next type of heart is a set in a context of an ancient way of communicating. It was the context of a motif of blessing and cursing. And this is very common, even in literature other than the Bible. This was throughout that part of the world. There were the issue of blessings and curses. I remember studying that in the seminary. There's a class called Ancient Near Eastern Texts, and we'd have to study Hyksos and Hittite and Babylonian, Assyrian, and Egyptian texts, and they all had this in common, curses and blesses. And so here we have now, here's what it says in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert. He will not see when prosperity comes. It will live in the stony wastes of the wilderness and a land of salt without inhabitants. See, this is the comparison. There's the one who does not follow the Lord. It says here, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. Blessed is the one who trusts the Lord. It's a comparison, isn't it? And this is very clear. This person, it says, their heart has departed from the Lord. Why? They're walking this way, and the Lord is whispering, don't go that way, Gary. I hear it. I just keep walking. Gary, don't go that way. You're going to become a tumbleweed in the desert. You're going to be in a lonely wasteland. Your life's going to be terrible. Don't walk that way. See, it's about departing from the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and the Lord's been whispering to you, don't do that or do this, and you're dull. You're dull of hearing. It's friends, these words were not written to the pagan nations. These were written to God's people. God's people whose ears, their heart, had become dull of hearing. And dull of hearing led them to have a heart that departed from God. They separated themselves from God. That's where it always leads. Well, you can see very clearly the difference here. Cursed to the man who trusts in man, whose flesh is his strength, whose heart is cursed. Now, here it would be easy for me as your pastor to only tell you the happy stuff, right? But the Bible is filled with warnings. Unfortunately, we live in a world today that if we trust in the methodology and the philosophies of mankind, of the world, then it will be contrary to what the Lord wants for us to do. And so here's how the world does it. The world is very good at simply changing the names and definitions. So it will change the definitions of life and death. So in Holland today, if you are You know, if you're addicted to drugs or alcohol and you've unsuccessfully been able to get off of those drugs, then they will assist you to kill yourself. It's the law. So they've redefined life and death. Some places in the world, if you're too old and you become a burden on society, so they can help you kill yourself. There's euthanasia. Because mankind says, well, no, we're in charge of those things. Mankind can make the definition of when life begins and when life ends. They say, well, life doesn't really begin until you breathe your first breath. Really? What about when that heart starts beating in the womb of a mother? Isn't that life? Friends, the world defines things the way they want. We'll just redefine marriage. We'll just redefine sexuality. The world will say black is white, white is black. The Bible says, cursed is the one who trusts in man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Friends, we have blessing and curses. We live in a world today and ultimately has also changed the world wants to change the definitions of even things that are sin. And that invades the church. So people think, well, it's okay. I can just live with someone and have sexual relationship with them. We're not married, but, you know, hey, we've redefined it. I've got to tell you, if you want God's blessing, and I know you do, then do it God's way. Well, I'm here to tell you is that the Scripture is filled. Any place where people said, you know what, I think God just doesn't know what he's doing. I think God really wants to mess my life up. He's really trying to rob me of happiness and joy. I got a better way. It never works out. And I've been a believer now for 42 years, and I know a whole lot of believers. It never works out. When I tell God, I know more than you. I'm going to do what's convenient. I'm going to be the one that gets away with it. Friends, it's not about getting away with stuff. It's about God wants to bless your life. Is God forgiving? And sure he is. There's plenty of times when I walked way out here and God is trying, hey, Gary, come back. And I walked a couple more steps just to say I could do it. Isn't God merciful? Hasn't he been gracious and merciful to you? Hasn't he blessed you in spite of your own ignorance and my own ignorance? Sure he has. It's his mercy. So we have a dull heart. We have a departed heart, and now we see this is a passage that Blaine shared with us, a devoted heart. Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust or hope is in the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by water and extends its roots to the stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the years of drought, nor cease to yield his fruit. See the comparison? One's like a bush in the desert, will not see prosperity, will live in the wasteland, in a land of salt without inhabitants. It's a lonely life. I'm really glad that when we trust in ourselves that it never works out. Sometimes it takes decades for it to catch up. The prodigal son said, you know, I don't need the father. And maybe the father said when he's walking away to the faraway land, hey, don't go. I love you. Finally, he got so far away he couldn't hear anymore. But even there, as he was feeding the pigs in the faraway land, he remembered the father. And this is a wonderful part of this passage in Jeremiah 17. with all of the terrible things that had happened in Judah, God is still calling them. Come home. A dull heart, a departed heart, now a devoted heart. Now, the next part is a verse, I think it's actually a verse that the Awana kids memorize. It's in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? So it's a dull heart, a departed heart, a devoted heart. Now we see a deceitful heart. Or you could also put a diseased heart. It's deceitful. Mankind and even ourselves, left to ourselves, will make a lot of very, very foolish decisions. I've had so many people say, well, man, I just felt so right. It's like that Debbie Boone song, you know. You light up my life. If it feels so wrong, how could it be wrong if it feels so right? Well, a whole lot of things, you know. Friends, I've had people tell me, I know it. I know the Bible says not to do it, but boy, I just know for me it's right. Well, boy, then you fall into this. You're going to be a tumbleweed in the desert. May not come tomorrow, but it's going to come. You have a dull heart and a departed heart and a devoted heart. That's where we need to be so that we may prosper in our lives. That doesn't mean you're going to get the gold Escalade and, you know, and the house on the hill that never floods and stuff. Here's what's going to happen. God will bless your life. That sounds pretty good to me. It ends by saying this. The heart is deceitful more than anything else. It is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And then God steps up and says these words in verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Friends, who understands your heart tonight, this morning, I mean? Your Creator, your God, your Savior, your Shepherd, your Lord. Jesus Christ, right now, understands exactly where each one of us are at, what we're struggling with, what we're fearing. He knows how far out in left field we may be. The heart is decrepit and deceitful. That's what it says. So the last part of this, if we have a dull heart, a departed heart, a dedicated heart, a devoted heart, now we have a deceitful heart needs what? It needs a doctored heart. Verse 12, a glorious throne on high from the beginning is the beginning, the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake thee will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. Now get this, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for thou art my praise. Now, if there's anybody who seemed like they didn't need to say this, it was Jeremiah. He seemed like he had it dialed in. But this great leader, this great man of God, would cry out, O Lord, heal my heart. Save me. David did the same in Psalm 51, verse 10. He had made a big mistake. Committed adultery, was involved with a conspiracy of murder. He would be confronted and he would cry out in Psalm 51, 10, O Lord, create in me a clean heart. The nation of Israel would not, the nation of Judah, the tribe would not repent. They would not listen. They were too dull. They were too departed. Warning after warning after warning. In three different times, the Babylonians would come. Three different waves, dragging the people of God off to Babylon. Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, move over, I will give you a new heart and put in you a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Friends, it's the Lord and the Lord alone who can change the heart. If you have a dull heart today, then let me encourage you to start listening to the Lord, listening to his still, small voice. If you have a departed heart, that means you're out in left field someplace. You know, the biblical word is the word repent. It means turn around and go the right way. Come back. If you have a devoted heart, then keep trusting the Lord because he's going to bless your life. And here I've got to tell you is that you may be going through challenging times right now. Do I hear any amens for that? But the Lord gets the last word. He promises to bless his children. We have a deceitful heart. This is written to God's people. So how long will my heart be deceitful? Well, it's going to be probably deceitful until I get in heaven. So I have to pay attention to not trust in my own self, but trust in the Lord. And lastly, the issue of a doctored heart. And here we have Jeremiah himself. What a godly man. History tells us that the Bible tells us that he would be sent off. He was actually rescued by the Babylonians, and he was sent off to Egypt. He would go to Egypt, and history tells us this, that he would see some Jewish people there, some women who were they were worshiping idols, and he confronted them. Their result was they went back and told their husbands about it, and they came and stoned him to death. That's what history tells us. The Bible doesn't speak to that. Alludes to it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. History also tells us that the Egyptians had so much admiration for Jeremiah that they built a tomb for Jeremiah. And it was still there when Alexander the Great conquered Egypt. Because he saw it and he moved it, the tomb, from there to Alexandria. Named the town after himself. Now, why do I share that? Because I look at Jeremiah's life, and I go, man, I wouldn't want to do 40 years of that kind of ministry. Wow. But you know what? Here's the thing. God's blessing is upon that man. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord and not himself. Jeremiah would cry out, "Oh, heal me, O Lord, that I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for thou art my praise." If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, there was a time in my life where I ran the whole show. It was whatever I wanted to do, I did it. And I got a little glimpse of my life being like that tumbling tumbleweed in the desert, with no hope of prospering. It was at a young age, as a teenager, I would surrender my life to Jesus Christ and began to commit myself, so I'm going to trust in him. He will be my hope. How did I do that? I did that through prayer. I acknowledged my sin, my separatedness from God. And I turned to him and believed on Jesus Christ, that God came as a man, died on the cross for my sins, and rose again. And then I confessed him as my Lord and Savior. Did that all that through prayer, and that's how you become a Christian. If you'd like more information about how to do that, grab one of these little pamphlets on the wall on the way out called Following Jesus, and then, or talk to one of us after the service. But I think maybe most of us here have already made a decision for Christ. And here's the challenge. These words were written to God's people, and they're written to us. Watch out that you don't have a dull heart. Because if you have a dull heart, it always leads to a departed heart. God doesn't want to have to yell. The opposite of that is having a devoted heart. And so it's our prayer that in the midst of that, we'd realize with a deceptive heart that we all need a doctored heart. I need a doctored heart every day as I battle with the things of the world. It says in the book of Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will do what? Stand guard on your heart and on your mind. Friends, we need a guarded, in this world, we need a guarded heart. Who better to stand guard on our heart, on God, guard over our heart than God himself? That's how we keep ourselves from becoming dull or departed. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to have to teach you the song because some of you may know it, but it's just right there from Scripture. And so it says this in verse 14, heal me, O Lord, that I may be healed. Save me, that I may be saved, for thou art my praise, or the one that I praise. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to sing it through first myself. That way you'll learn it. If not, I mean, the words are right up there. So it's pretty, should work out pretty good. So what I'll have you do is stand together, and then we'll sing through this wonderful song. Once again, this is our prayer. If there's something going on in your life right now, then so Lord, heal that. Maybe it's a sense of a weariness or fear or brokenness or anxiety. Maybe you've departed and you need to come home. We'll sing this as a prayer. Let me sing it for you first.
Heal me, O Lord, that I might be healed. Save me and I will be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. For you are the one that I praise. You are the one that I praise.
Sing with me.
Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. For you are the one that I pray. You are the one that I pray. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. For you are the one that I pray. You are the one that I pray.
Amen. Let's cry out to the Lord, never allowing our hearts to be dull. Always listening to his still small voice of correction or blessing. If we find ourselves wandering away, then turn around and just come home. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's devote ourselves to him that we may bear fruit for his name. Heavenly Father, we ask now that we would continually come to you for healing, body, soul, and spirit. We need you. Forgive us for the times in our lives where our hearts have become dull, where we have listened to the world or to our own flesh and not depended upon you. Oh, Father, we confess that you are the healer. You are our Savior, and we give you praise. And now, Lord, as we enjoy next door for those who are going to newcomers' reception, we pray that it would be a great time of hospitality and friendship. And we thank you for those foods, and we thank you for the provision in our lives. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.